space to rent in this town. You're out of luck. And the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck. And you're not moving anywhere. You thought you'd found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you could lend a hand in return.
Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters radio show. It's Monday, it's the 15th of October 2018, and we have a great show ahead of you this morning. On this morning's show, in a moment, we're going to be talking about good food for women's health. Now, last week we spoke about men's health, and this week we are going to have a chat about women's health. At the end of the show, we're also going to continue our discussion about ways to improve your sleep quality and quantity. And in the middle, we have a special guest interview this morning with Dr. Danny Scarhill. Good morning, Danny.
How are you doing, Neil? Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on the show this morning. And Danny's from the Crawley Chiropractic Centre. And we're going to be finding out more about what Danny does in about 20 minutes or so. We also have some songs today from three different Johns. Now, I'm not going to introduce them, and I'm not going to tell you what they are, but see if you can work out what the three different Johns are during the show this morning. So a quick disclaimer before we start. The Health Matters radio show, the purpose of the Health Matters radio show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters covered, and to help educate and inform you in ways to improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I am not engaged in providing medical advice, and the content in the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health, or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist first. All content is provided for general information only, and I encourage you to do your own research on the subject matters covered. And the Health Matters radio show is based on my knowledge, my research, my experience and my opinion, and I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the show. The show's social media details. On Twitter, you can find the show if you go to @HealthRadioShow. You can follow the show's Twitter feed and you can ask for shout outs or just say hi and I'll give you a mention on air. You can go to Facebook and search the Health Matters Radio Show and you can find the show's Facebook page there. You can listen again to this show and all previous shows on the show's iTunes podcast. And you can also find previous shows on the media page of my website. And my website is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. If you'd like to contact me privately and personally, then please drop me an email via my website. Okay, so on to women's health. So as I mentioned last year, last week we mentioned about foods that are good for men's health. And today we're going to cover a few different foods that are actually quite good specifically for women's health. Now, some of these will be also good for men's health. Food is food. Good food is good food. But these are specifically good for women. I have quite a long list. So if we don't get through all of them today, then we'll continue on the next show. So let's kick this off with turmeric. Now, turmeric is a really powerful antioxidant. It has an antioxidant polyphenol in it, which is a chemo preventative. So it's obviously better to deal with prevention rather than cure. And interestingly, turmeric is part of the ginger family spice. And obviously breast cancer is a big issue with women worldwide, and it is the second leading cause of cancer-related mortality in women. Now, one of the things that leads to the growth of breast cancer in particular is chronic inflammation. This is a major risk factor, and it's a risk factor for the development and the metastatic progression of breast cancer and any cancer as well. But we're talking about women's health now, and specifically breast cancer. And it has been proven that the anti-inflammatory properties of turmeric or curcumin taken with black pepper, that's important because the black pepper helps the turmeric to be absorbed by the body. But there are research papers that have shown that it actually reduces the risk of breast cancer, particularly as a woman gets older. High fiber diet. Now, lots of clients I meet for the first time are very low in fiber, and we have a chronic issue with fiber consumption in this country and in the Western world in particular. Now, this comes from having a diet that's quite highly processed and drinking lots of fruit rather than eating lots of fruit. So a high fiber diet, apart from being good for your digestive tract and your digestive system, it's been researched that high fiber or fiber rich foods help to reduce estrogen levels in the blood. Now, high estrogen levels have been linked with breast cancer development. So a way to find out whether your diet is high in fiber or not is actually to do a food diary. And if you do a food diary, you'll be able to work out how much fiber you're consuming. Government guidelines suggest a minimum 30 grams a day. Most people that I meet for the first time, they very rarely get into double figures. So I would say for most of you listening out there, you probably do have a fiber deficient diet. If you're a woman, you might want to consider increasing it to the recommended 30 grams a day. Tomatoes. Now, it's well known that tomatoes contain an antioxidant called lycopene, and that can actually help reduce the risk of damage to your DNA. As we know, damage to DNA can lead on to certain types of cancer, including stomach cancer, prostate cancer in men, lung cancer, and also breast cancer in women. So tomatoes have this very powerful antioxidant in them. But it's also been found that when you heat tomatoes, the amount of that antioxidant, that lycopene, actually increases, and it becomes easier for the body to absorb. So if you're cooking, then you might want to consider adding tomato paste or sautéed tomatoes or organic tomato sauce to maybe things like omelette or chicken or pasta dishes to increase that lycopene and also to have the health benefits from the antioxidant. Peanuts. Now, peanuts contain choline, and we've mentioned choline on previous shows, and choline does actually help reduce the risk of breast cancer. There is a publication by the Journal of the Federation of American Societies for Experimental Biology, and they found that women who consumed the highest amount of choline had the lowest risk of breast cancer compared to those who ate the least amount of choline. And the interesting thing about choline is it can help reduce the risk of other cancers as well, including liver cancer. And it can also reduce and improve the condition we know as fatty liver disease. Now, with fatty liver disease, again, we've covered this on the previous show, you have fatty liver disease caused by alcohol, so too much alcohol consumption. And we also have fatty liver disease, which is non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which is obviously not caused by alcohol, but causes the same problems. So peanuts are very good. Green tea. Now, lots of people I know drink green tea, and lots of people I know drink green tea not particularly willingly, but because they are aware of the health benefits. Green tea, I'd be the first to admit, is a matter of personal taste, and not everyone likes it. Although over the last 10 years or so, you can get flavoured green teas. But green tea has got these polyphenols in it, these antioxidants that have massive health benefits, including anti-cancer properties. And there was a study by the National Institute of Health's National Cancer Institute that found that women that drank at least one cup of green tea a day had less urinary estrogen. Now, urinary estrogen is a known carcinogen of breast cancer or cause of breast cancer. And these women that drank the one cup of green tea a day had lower levels of this carcinogen. Pomegranates are really good. Now, pomegranates have been linked to fertility and health for centuries. But now it's become, the experts have become aware that pomegranates can actually inhibit the growth of breast cancer. So other berries also are quite good. So strawberries, raspberries, cranberries, also walnuts and pecan nuts are pretty good as well. But pomegranates have been shown to suppress estrogen production. And as we've already mentioned, excessive estrogen production can lead to the growth of breast cancer. So pomegranates are good as well, as are Brazil nuts. Now, Brazil nuts are pretty good for your thyroid. Now, there is a condition called Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is a condition that leads to 80% of all hypothyroidism cases. And hypothyroidism or thyroid issues is where your immune system attacks your thyroid gland. I'm sure the ladies out there that suffer with thyroid issues will understand what I'm talking about here. But this can cause you to feel sluggish, and often it will also cause increased weight gain or the inability to lose weight. Now, in Brazil nuts, they are rich in selenium. Now, selenium is a mineral that acts as the on switch for proper thyroid function. It can also help to protect the gland from inflammatory byproducts of thyroid hormone production. And actually, there's been a lot of studies that have shown that women that eat an adequate amount of selenium actually have an improved thyroid function, and it can actually help to avoid thyroid issues as they get older. And equally, a lot of women that do suffer with thyroid issues, particularly Hashimoto's, are actually deficient in selenium. And we're going to cover one more for today, and the others we'll cover on the next show. And the last one for today is coriander. Now, if you've got cellulite is where fat pushes up against your skin. And it's this fat pushing up against the skin that causes the dimpling, and obviously the thing we know as cellulite. Now, coriander is a really powerful detoxifier that helps to remove heavy metals from the body. And these heavy metals tend to hide in fat cells, and these heavy metals then disrupt the normal fat cell function. And by having fresh herbs like coriander, it can help these cells to heal themselves, and it can help them to function properly. And by removing these toxins from your body, it also can help you remove excess stored fat, which in turn can help to remove the appearance of cellulite. So as I mentioned, there's a few more that I want to go through. We haven't got time this morning, but I will go through them on the next show. But hopefully there's a few tips and hints in there, particularly for the ladies, that might be able to help you in particular areas, maybe with the prevention of things like breast cancer or cellulite or thyroid issues. And on the next show, we're also going to cover things like menopause and ways that, or foodstuffs that can help you to reduce the menopause symptoms. So after the break, we're going to go on to our guest interview. But today, as I mentioned, we have songs by three different Johns. I'm sure most of you will guess the first one. And we'll find out at the end who these Johns are. But to take us into the break, we have a song by a very, very famous John, possibly the most famous John of all time.
Imagine there's no heaven. Easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people
You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show, and that was a very, very famous John, and I'm sure you know who it is, and we have another couple of Johns a bit later on in the show. Just to remind you of the show's social media details, on Twitter, it's at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, it's the Health Matters Radio Show, and you can listen again to this show and previous shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk, or you can go to iTunes, search the Health Matters Radio Show, and you can listen to previous shows and subscribe to the podcast there. Okay, so on to our special guest interview for this morning. I'm pleased to say I have Dr. Danny Scarhill with me from the Crawley Chiropractic Centre. Good morning, Danny. How are you?
Very well, thanks. And yourself?
I'm very well, thank you. It's great to have you on the show. I know you've come quite a distance, actually. If you, I think it's the furthest anyone's ever come. I've had some people come up from London, but I've had no one navigate the M23, M25, M20. So I'm pleased that you are on the show this morning.
No worries. Happy to be here, mate.
So let's go into your interview and let's find out more about your background, about what you've done in the past, what's led you into where you are now, and obviously how your services help people. So let's start at the beginning. Obviously, I'm sure people can tell from the accent you're not from Kent or Surrey. So tell us a bit about your background, about perhaps your younger years, and kind of what led you into doing what you do now.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been in the healing arts for over 20 years now, so just over half my life at this point. And when I was a kid, obviously being from Liverpool, you know, we all played football a lot, very, very active, always did loads of sports, including karate and kickboxing.
Okay.
And ultimately, it was training for kickboxing and lifting weights way too young that led to me getting injured, to ultimately becoming a chiropractor.
So how old were you at that particular time?
I was either 15 or 16. And I'm only like 5'7" now, but at that age I was about 5 foot nothing. And so a lot of the people I was competing against in kickboxing were much, much bigger than me.
Yeah.
So I decided in my infinite wisdom I was going to get some heavy weights, even though my parents told me not to.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't listen. Got injured, and it's a long story, but that's a very brief version of what happened, and it led to me seeing a physiotherapist for a while, which for me personally didn't really do anything for me.
Okay.
And then I went on to see an osteopath, which really, really helped, so much so that I fast forward then till I was about 17, because I was doing my A-levels. I had already applied to do law in university because I always wanted to be a lawyer from a very young age. But osteopathy really helped me. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to cancel my law application and I'm going to go off to do osteopathy.
Wow, that's quite a change, isn't it?
It is. Yes, 180.
So had you not had the injury, you'd have followed the profession of law in some capacity?
Yes. I would have done in some capacity for sure.
Wow. So your experience with osteopathy obviously took you down a new route, perhaps a new mission in life.
Absolutely. You know, it was completely different to what I always thought I wanted to do and to be. So I think it was 1997 when I was 18, I went off to do osteopathy. And in the year 2000, both osteopathy and chiropractic professions were getting regulated. So all part-time colleges in both professions went. So my college, my osteopathy college, shut down in the year 2000 when I was so painfully close to the finish line. And so that ended. And I thought to myself, do you know what? I don't want to do anything other than something of this nature. Mm-hmm. So an osteopath mentor of mine, he says, why don't you become a chiropractor? And I said to him, are you sure, Phil? And he says, yeah, I do loads of postgrad stuff with osteopaths and chiropractors, and there's similarities in what we do. So I went off, applied to do law in Welsh Institute of Chiropractic. Sorry, applied to do chiropractic, should I say? You're getting a bit confused there. In Welsh Institute of Chiropractic in South Wales.
Okay.
Started that in 2001. That was a 5-year degree. Graduated in 2006. Now being a chiropractor for over 12 years now. So been in this game quite some time, Neil.
So have you seen many changes in your industry over that particular time?
Not a huge amount. Okay. I mean, there's always new techniques coming out in chiropractic as there are in osteopathy and things like that.
Yeah.
And I guess some new technology, but the philosophy and the fundamentals have not changed in my experience.
Okay. So let's have a look at just to backtrack a little bit here. So osteopathy and chiropractic, perhaps you could explain to the listeners what they are, because I'm sure people have heard of them, but I'm sure not everyone completely knows what they are and what they do for you.
That's a great question, and it's something I get asked all the time. What's the difference between this, and this? Usually osteopathy, chiropractic, and physiotherapy, but the two you mentioned, osteopathy and chiropractic, fundamentally, you know, chiropractic, the difference between osteopathy and chiropractic is philosophy, really. So osteopathy is about improving the blood flow around the body to allow the body to facilitate the healing process by working on the body, the joints and the muscles, etc. Mm-hmm. Chiropractic, we are essentially doctors of the nervous system. The nervous system controls absolutely everything in your body. So we work fundamentally and primarily on the spine, but we can work on any joints in the body, including the bones in your skull.
Okay.
Cranial.
Yeah.
And so we find the areas of the spine that are what we call subluxated or misaligned, because those misalignments or those subluxations, that puts pressure on the nervous system, mm-hmm. which often causes symptoms, but not always. Okay. So quite often can cause pain.
Yeah.
So what we want to do really is realign the spine with chiropractic adjustments. That's our word for treatment, to realign the spine. That takes the pressure off the nervous system, that allows your body to start to heal itself. So that's fundamentally the difference in philosophy. In addition to that, though, we're trained for 5 years to take x-rays where needed, read x-rays as well, whether we've taken them or not, we can read them, you know. So they're the two fundamental differences in my experiences. Because I've been on both sides of the fence, which not a lot of practitioners could say that.
Mm-hmm. So from a layman's point of view, from my point of view, it sounds like chiropractic is more involved. Would that be fair, or more detailed? Or
you could say that, yeah. Because I mean, we look at, or certainly the way I practice chiropractic, I talk about eat, move, and think on purpose.
Right.
So in addition to working on the spine, realigning the spine, we want to look at nutrition, mindset, and exercise as well.
Ah.
So you could say that that's like added value.
Which leads nicely onto your book, but we'll cover your book in a moment, because there's obviously a lot of things that you've experienced in your career, and obviously with your clients that are covered in your book. And we are going to mention Danny's book in a few moments. So coming back to chiropractic, In what ways do you help people? Why do people particularly come to you? Are there particular injuries or particular conditions where someone is suffering in a particular way and they go, right, I need to talk to someone that has a chiropractic practice?
Absolutely, yes. So there's really common ones like headaches, migraines, sciatica, generalized back pain. You know, low back pain is probably the most common reason why people come and see a chiropractor. Shoulder pain, sciatica, you know, you name it. Anytime there's a symptom that someone's experiencing, people generally know that something's going wrong in the body and they need to do something to change that. So that's what the purpose of a symptom is, isn't it? It's an alarm bell.
Yes, that something's not quite right, that something's causing some discomfort, some pain, that something needs to be realigned or something needs to be fixed, or there's an injury of some description.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've mentioned, obviously, the services that you offer and obviously the background. And I think it's a fascinating background because one of the things that's very common, and I would say without exception to every guest that I've had on the show over the last year, and the show is a year old today, by the way, which is very exciting. But one of the common themes that runs through every single guest that I've had on the show is that they've had a past experience of something. Whatever they are currently doing as a career and as a profession to help people, and every person that I've had on the show has been doing something that helps people in some way, the common theme is it came from their own personal experience. And obviously the injury that you had took you down that pathway where you felt that, you know, a particular therapy helped you, and therefore you could use your experience to then help other people.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you have a practice, don't you? You have a practice in Crawley.
Yes.
And you also have online services as well.
Yes.
So let's talk about your practice in Crawley. Tell us a bit about that.
Okay, so we're a practice based in Crawley, just outside the town centre, and Base Point Business Centre, for those of you that are listening in and around the Crawley area. I practice on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we're just in the process of bringing on a new associate as well.
Okay.
We also have a massage therapist who works on a Monday and a Wednesday as well, which massage and chiropractic fit so well together. One complements the other beautifully.
Yeah, yeah. And what about the online services?
So that all relates to my book, Total Health Transformation, The Proven System to Unlock Limitless Energy, Motivation and Health. So the online services, they're essentially coaching programs to help people to transform their health, essentially. I offer that to my chiropractic patients. I also offer that to anybody worldwide that is struggling with their health and would like some help with turning that round.
Okay. So how does the online services work, and how do people apply and find that information?
Yeah. So quite often people, after reading my book, the next steps are within that to reach out to me and say, you know, I'm looking for some help. So what I typically do when people do reach out to me and say, I want some help, we do what we call a health breakthrough consultation.
Okay.
Which is usually about 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, which is a free chat. It's an informal chat, which we usually do online on Skype or something like that. Find out what the problem is, if I can help, and if there's a good match for us to work together.
Mm-hmm.
If there is, then we proceed and they either go on to one of my coaching programs, which can either be one-to-one or group coaching. It's entirely up to the individual, really.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really good, actually, because I'm a great believer in pre-qualification, not just to make sure that, you know, you are the right person to help that person, but they have the confidence that you are the right person. And also, if they're going to make some changes in their life, to obviously make sure that they're ready to make those changes. I think that consultation, I do a similar thing, I call it a discovery session, but essentially the same sort of thing where you just make sure the person is in the right place to get the result that they want to get, as opposed to taking on anyone and everyone. I think that pre-qualification is really important. So we've mentioned your book. So the book is called Total Health Transformation. you've kindly given me a copy of the book, which is great, and I will read that this week. Thank you very much. You're and welcome. I will put a link to the book on the show's Twitter feed and the show's Facebook page for you as well. But in the book, it mentions some case studies, some successes you've had with some of your clients.
Yeah.
Perhaps you could mention a few of those.
Absolutely, yeah. So I've worked with a lot of business owners. Being a business owner myself, I just kind of attract that, you could say, really. So this is one guy called Phil, who was one of the founders of a commodities and currencies training club, or trading club, should I say. He says, my initial reason for getting involved in this program was the big goal of getting into the best shape of my life for my wedding. At the beginning of the program, you helped me get a baseline for where I was starting from. Then I was able to track and measure everything going forwards with regards to my health, fitness, routines, nutrition, and daily mindset habits.
Mm-hmm.
A revelation for me was learning how much water we should be drinking and how dehydrated I was to begin with. When I increased my water intake, my energy level skyrocketed and my clarity of thought improved exponentially as well. Another big learning for me was to significantly cut down on my caffeine intake, as I realized that for many years I've been running on adrenaline fueled by my coffee. I used to definitely rely on my coffee, especially if I was going to be trading late into the evenings. I've noticed that there's no need for me to do that anymore, just by getting all the right foods at the right time into my diet. Now I barely have any caffeine and my energy levels continue to increase every day. I wanted to say a big thank you to Danny for my total health transformation program experience. And that's just one of many case studies in the book, Neil.
Mm.
It's great to be able to help so many people.
Absolutely. It's interesting that you mentioned caffeine in that testimonial, because that's going to be the first thing I mention on the next part of the show when it comes to sleep quality and sleep quantity and the life that caffeine has in the body. But it's also interesting you mentioned about water. And I'm sure a lot of people that you meet for the first time are chronically dehydrated.
Absolutely. Big time.
And there's lots of people that I see that, you know, they're at such a point of dehydration that their bodies had to adapt to that dehydration. But if they went from normal hydration to where they currently were in the space of 2 or 3 days, they'd probably end up in hospital. And the only thing that stopped them ending up in hospital is the body's need to adapt, or its necessity to adapt. So when you've had those clients that have come in, and obviously they've got particular issues with them, and it might be physical issues where you need to put into practice the chiropractic techniques that you have. But when it comes to things like their overall health and maybe their diet, nutrition, water, in what ways do you help them in those areas as well?
In terms of diet, nutrition, et cetera. Okay, so you've alluded to one of the points already. Most people are chronically dehydrated, aren't they?
Yeah.
And there's been so many studies over the years as now you only need to be as little as 5% dehydrated to decrease your cognitive ability by 25 to 30%.
Mm.
That's why just by increasing a little bit of increasing the water intake, people can notice exponential growth in their energy, focus, and concentration. So also looking at the amount of processed foods that people are consuming. Caffeine, which you alluded to before. I mean, I don't touch caffeine at all. If I have one cup of coffee these days, I'm shaking and rattling for the whole day. It's not worth it, you know?
No.
So it's just a case of evaluating where they are in terms of how they're eating, moving, and thinking. We get a baseline, as Phil was saying in his case study before, and then we track and measure after already having set realistic goals.
Mm.
And then we get to those goals and then we set more goals and more goals. That's the way we work.
And it's really good because it fits in nicely with the physical side as well, doesn't it? If someone comes to you with an injury or sciatica or some sort of back pain, then obviously they will often, I'm sure, be interlinked in some way.
Absolutely. I mean, just last week, a new patient came into my practice, and when she left, she happened to buy a copy of my book. And it was really interesting because a couple of days later, she was back in for her adjustment, and I had a potential associate chiropractor shadowing me, having a look around the practice as I was working. And this particular patient says, "I've bought your book. I've started implementing everything. And then she rattled off a list of, I'm drinking more water, I'm cutting out caffeine and all this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have scripted it better, Neil, to be honest with you. It was almost as if I'd said to her, can you say this in front of this guy? I didn't know anything about, you know, how much she'd implemented already until she said it in front of everyone in the practice. It was really nice.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. And, you know, you touched on a bit there about implementation.
Yes.
It's no good reading a book and then not putting it into practice.
I agree.
You know, head knowledge is great, but actually the practical application is far more important.
100%. I mean, I say in workshops to people all the time, to know and not do is to not yet know.
Yes.
You've got to take action, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So what are your plans? Obviously, we're coming towards the end of 2018, but what are your plans for the rest of 2018 going into 2019?
So, as I mentioned before, we're looking at bringing in another chiropractic associate to continue expanding the Crawley Chiropractic Centre practice. Mm-hmm. We're looking at continuing to grow the total health transformation community as well. I know you've got a fantastic mission yourself, haven't you, to educate 100 million people over the next 10 years or so over
type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm. So my mission really is to educate and inspire people to help millions of people around the world to experience total health transformation. And we do that via our coaching, and we also do that via our online groups as well. So yeah, they're our big goals, really. Expand both the chiropractic practice and also total health transformation community.
Exciting times.
Absolutely.
So who's your ideal client? You mentioned about the business professional.
Yeah, that's tend to have been, you know, what I've attracted over the years, because being an entrepreneur has been in my blood since a very, very young age. So I've kind of attracted that kind of client, you know. And I've found in my experience that business owners and entrepreneurs tend to be a lot more driven and determined to make these changes so they can achieve their mission, if you like, in their business. So, often it's people who are exhausted, you know, they're burning the candle at both ends. They've got chronic tiredness. Maybe they've got a bit of weight gain. Yeah, so, and, you know, chronically stressed, because most of us entrepreneurs don't stop, do we? We're on the go all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, so you can totally relate to what I'm talking about there, can't you? You've definitely got a lot of plates in the air as well, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely. So why should people come to you? There's obviously, you know, there is a great choice of nutrition coaches, and there's personal trainers, and there's chiropractors, and there's osteopaths. And why particularly do you think people should make an approach to you and have a chat with you first?
Well, I've been in this game for a long, long time. Over 20 years, I've been a student of health, if you like, mm-hmm. you know, a student of what makes people perform better and what doesn't, what to do and what not to do. And really mastered the art of eating, moving, and thinking on purpose to achieve your mission, to be able to do what you want to do, achieve your goals in record time. That is really what we do with the Total Health Transformation programs, set goals and help people achieve those in record time.
Brilliant. So if people want to get hold of you, what are the best points of contact?
They can contact us through the website, DannyScarhill.com, mm-hmm. or they can email us Danny@DannyScarhill.com. You can also find me on Facebook via my personal profile, Danny Scarhill.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for coming on the show this morning, Danny. It's been really interesting to find out not just more about chiropractor, but or chiropractor practice, but also about you and your background as well. And what I'll do for you as well is I'll put those contact details on the show's social media feeds, so people can find you there. I'll also, as I mentioned, put a link to your book as well. But I'm really grateful that you've come on the show this morning. It's been great to find out more about what you do.
Thank you so much for inviting me on the show, Neil. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Likewise.
Thanks again.
Thanks, cheers. Danny. Okay, so to take us into the next part of the show, we have another quick music break, another song by a famous John. I'm sure you got the first one. Will you get this one?
Music was my first love, and it will be my last. Music of the future, and music of the past. impossible to do. In this world of troubles, my music brings me through. Was my first love, and it will be my last. Music of the future, and music of the past, and music of the past, and music of the past.
Another great song by another famous John. Arguably a one-hit wonder, but a very great song. And I wonder if you know who that John was, and we'll find out in about 10 minutes or so. Just a quick reminder of the show's social media feeds. On Twitter, at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, search the Health Matters Radio Show. You can get in contact with me via either of those media, or you can find me via my website at www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And as I've mentioned, you can listen to this show and all previous shows on the media page of my website and via the show's iTunes podcast feed. If you go to iTunes and search the Health Matters Radio Show, you'll be able to listen to this show and subscribe to the feed and get regular updates when I post new shows. Okay, so last week we covered men's health, and today we've covered women's health, and we also touched on ways to improve your sleep quality and your sleep quantity. Now, I had quite a long list of things that I wanted to go through last week, but we simply ran out of time. So as promised, I said I would cover some more today. And again, depending on time, we may have to carry this on to another show as well. But on last week's show, we covered a couple of areas, which included exposure to blue light in the evening and how that affects your hormones, and how if you watch TV late at night or you're on your phone, your tablet, your computer late at night, that can actually block the hormones that help you get a good night's sleep. So reducing blue light exposure is quite important. And also increasing light exposure during the day, we covered that as well. So if you want to find more about those, then listen to last week's show. As we mentioned during Danny's interview, we mentioned and we touched on caffeine. Now, it's well known that caffeine is a stimulant, and it's well known that it wakes people up if they're feeling particularly tired. Now, we're not going to go into the mechanics of how that works, but we're just going to talk about the effect it does have on the body. Now, caffeine has been proven to have some health benefits in moderation. And arguably, it's one of the most widely consumed drugs in the world. And yes, caffeine is a drug, albeit a legal drug. A single dose of caffeine can enhance your focus. It can improve energy levels. It can improve sports performance. However, it can also become very addictive. And you don't get a free ride when it comes to things like energy and performance. So if you get a boost of energy and a boost in performance, you will probably get a crash at some point afterwards. And the problem there is that when people get the crash, what do? They reach for another cup of coffee. And then so the cycle continues. So whilst caffeine has been proven to have some health benefits, it really is dependent on moderation and dosage and also timing as well. So if you consume caffeine later in the day, this stimulates your nervous system as it would do at any other time of the day, but it can help you, make your body stop relaxing later at night. And in one study, it showed that consuming caffeine up to 6 hours before going to bed significantly worsened sleep quality. So what can you do about this? Well, if you like your caffeine, then I would suggest that you don't drink caffeinated drinks. We do refer to coffee quite frequently, but there's also caffeine in tea and other drinks as well. The general advice is to stay away from coffee or caffeinated drinks in particular around 6 to 8 hours before going to bed, because that caffeine can stay in your blood for 6 to 8 hours. So if you plan to go to bed at sort of 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, then try to stop drinking caffeinated drinks around 3 to 4 p.m. in the afternoon. If you have caffeine sensitivities, this is really important. And if you do have issues with sleep quality or quantity, then it's even more important as well. And if you do crave that coffee taste, perhaps later in the afternoon or into the evening, then you might want to consider decaffeinated coffee instead of caffeinated coffee. So try to sleep and wake at consistent times. So the body's circadian rhythm, which again we covered on last week's show, so this functions on a set loop. and it aligns itself with sunrise and sunset and being consistent with the times you go to sleep and the times that you wake up can really help your sleep quality in the long term. I know lots of people that wake up early in the week and they lay in at weekends, and that really does mess up your sleep patterns. And actually one study found that those who had irregular sleep patterns and went to bed late on weekends and woke up late on weekends had really poor sleep quality. Other studies have highlighted that irregular sleep patterns can alter that circadian rhythm, and it can also alter levels of your melatonin hormone. As we mentioned melatonin on last week's show, it's the hormone that triggers your body to go into sleep mode. It's suppressed by caffeine, it's suppressed by blue light in particular, and it's also suppressed by waking up and going to sleep at irregular times. So if you do struggle with your sleep quality or your sleep quantity, then try to get in the habit of waking up and going to bed at the same time every day, regardless of the day of the week. And you may find that after several weeks, your body gets into that rhythm. Even if it's getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning, be consistent. And I know lots of people that don't even need an alarm clock to wake up at those times because they're in tune with their circadian rhythm. And the last one for today, we're going to talk about alcohol for a moment. Now, alcohol is a suppressant, and lots of people use alcohol to relax. But actually, drinking a couple of alcoholic drinks at night can actually negatively affect your sleep quality, and it can also cause hormonal imbalance as well. So as we know, alcohol has been known to cause and increase the symptoms of sleep apnea. And those of you that suffer with sleep apnea out there will know how bad that can get. It can also increase the symptoms related to snoring, and it can disrupt your sleep patterns. And we now know how important regular sleep patterns are. And again, it does alter nighttime melatonin production. And melatonin is this really important sleep hormone that your body needs to get a good quality of deep sleep. And there was one study that found that alcohol consumption at night decreased the natural nighttime elevations in growth hormone. And these growth hormones play a vital role in this circadian rhythm and also to general good health as well. So you can see here, it's really important the way our diet, what we eat and what we drink, affects our sleep quality and quantity is actually so tangible that you really need to take a step back and look at your diet, look at your lifestyle, look at the patterns, look at your habits. Because if you are struggling with poor quality or quantity of sleep, it will no doubt have a negative impact on your day-to-day life. It also contributes a lot to some illnesses, including but not limited to type 2 diabetes and also obesity as well. So good quality of sleep is absolutely critical. So take a review. If you're drinking lots of caffeine late in the day, if you wake up late at weekends but wake up early during the week, then you might want to look at that. If you're drinking alcohol to relax at night, then that might be affecting your sleep patterns, and also blue light as well. Switch off the computer, switch off your phone or tablet a couple of hours before you go to bed. I have got a few more, but we haven't got time to cover these today. We will cover them on the next show, but hopefully you've found those quite useful. So before we wrap up the show, I'd like to thank you for listening. I'd like to thank Danny for coming on the show this morning. It's been great to have you on the show.
Thanks again. Yeah.
And I will put Danny's contact details on the show's social media feeds. If you'd like to contact me between shows, please feel free to use a Twitter feed or Facebook page, or contact me direct via my website. If you'd like to come on the show later in the year and into 2019, as Danny has done today, just to talk about what you do, then please make contact with me and we'll see about having you on the show as a guest. And after the last song, we have the Channel Radio News and Weather. But to take us there, we have one more song by Famous John. I'm going to play the intro, see if you can guess it. Here we go. And you probably guessed that the first Famous John was John Lennon, and that was the classic called Imagine. The second John was John Miles, and I think Music came from the 70s. Again, a one-hit wonder, but a really fantastic song. And the last song by Famous John to play you out is John Farnham, a great song from the 80s, and You're the Voice. So stay happy, stay healthy, and I'll catch you next week.